All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Some big news today for the Penn State basketball program. Isaiah Brockington, the number two leading scorer for the Nittany Lions this past season, 12.5 points a game, he announced that he will be sticking with Penn State. So that is certainly good. Six players in the transfer portal. He's staying around with new coach Micah Shrewsbury. Ben Jones from statecollege.com joins us, talks some Penn State sports, some basketball, some football. And I got a special conversation for Ben here as well, so about Penn State sports. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. I think I heard a little Go West in the background.
That was the king of wishful thinking, I believe it was.
Yeah, ain't that the Penn State basketball story?
That's pretty damn good, man. That's pretty good. You figured that out on the fly. That's impressive, Ben. All right. Okay, so Isaiah Brockington's back. What I wanted to talk to you about with Penn State sports is I love basketball. Football pays the bills. You cover the hell out of football. Everybody that covers Penn State football, you have to cover the hell out of football because that's what pays the bills. But what's your favorite Penn State sport to cover? Mine is clearly basketball. I'll write and talk as much basketball as possible. What's your favorite Penn State sport to cover?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think I enjoy them all for different reasons. I enjoy football because it's the big thing on campus and everyone cares. I enjoy basketball because I find that story of Penn State basketball to be kind of interesting. And I probably have the most fun just as a sports person outside of the whiteouts and things like that on any given day going to a Penn State hockey game because I think the experience is great. The atmosphere is great. The team is a lot of fun to watch, so I probably have the most fun there. But, yeah, I mean, there's different reasons why I enjoy each of them.
I've really only ever covered on a day-to-day basis Penn State football. When I was with the Altoona Mirror forever, it's all I really covered. I would try to do as much basketball as we could for the Mirror. I would talk basketball a lot. But now that I own a website, I do a ton of basketball. We also do a lot of wrestling. What I've found to be very interesting is and look, this was a very interesting, different kind of year with basketball. There's a lot of people interested in basketball, and it's Penn State basketball. Look, is something. Maybe it's not a huge fan base, but the people who are interested are passionate about it. And especially with everything happening, the coaching change, the transfer portal, the feedback I've gotten over the last few weeks from basketball fans has been phenomenal. I love it because I have always wished, Ben, hey, you know, if Penn State basketball were in the news more for good reasons and you could focus on a lot, I do think people would be interested. And I think what we've seen over the last few weeks is that's definitely the case. People are very interested in what was going to happen with the coach, with the transfer portal and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pennsylvania in general is a bit more of a basketball state than it gets credit for between Philadelphia. There's some good Pittsburgh hoops at the, you know, high school level. And preps and what have you. So, yeah, I mean, I think I've seen definitely people are interested. I think change is always exciting. But, you know, I think, you know, the Penn State basketball story also involves a lot of feeling optimistic about things only to see it go differently. So any fan that's super smart and has been around for a long time is tentatively excited, but I don't blame any of them for sort of having a little bit of optimism right now.
And then there's wrestling, because wrestling is just massive. What they've done with that program, winning 8 titles and 4 individual champions, you know, the interest in wrestling I've found to be even more than basketball, Ben, which has been surprising to me because, again, I love the basketball. You're there. How much do people around town talk about wrestling?
I think a fair amount. I mean, it's definitely probably more on a towny level, more of the one the more localized teams. You know, a lot of people come from out of town for a lot of different things, for football or basketball or hockey, and certainly they come out of town for wrestling. But I do think that there's a certain State College specific aspect to that fan base, which is kind of different than a lot of other places. But yeah, I mean, lots of people care about that, but how could you blame them? I mean, I'd never really covered wrestling. I didn't know a whole lot about it, and obviously watching Penn State the last decade or so has really informed me on a lot of things. And I've still never actually covered a wrestling duel, but I've gone to two. I've bought tickets on my own just to see it. And certainly if there's ever a time to get involved in watching wrestling, you know, you might as well do it when you're watching some of the best wrestlers in the world right in front of you. So it's definitely a thing lots of people care about.
What do you think the immediate future for Penn State basketball is? Brockington coming back will help. Sam Sessoms, Miles Dredd are sticking around as far as we know. Micah Shrewsbury is going to get some good players. He's going to get some good players out of the portal. You can worry about just how good they are and the fits and all that, but there's hundreds of players in the portal. Some will be good, and he can offer immediate playing time. But I came across a stat the other day, Ben. I researched all the records for the Big Ten since Penn State joined. They've only averaged 5.7 wins per season in the Big Ten. 5.7. So when you think about the history of what Penn State basketball has been, how difficult things have been when new coaches have taken over, and some of the things that Micah Shrewsbury is up against. What is year one, what does year two look like for Micah Shrewsbury?
Yeah, I mean, I think year one is going to be up and down either way. I think unless they get really good transfers coming in and are able to keep more of these guys that went to the portal, you know, there's just going to be ups and downs. I think that's pretty much a given. What that looks like is hard to say at this point, but yeah, I don't imagine that they're just going to jump on the train back to the tournament next year. I think what's interesting beyond that is going to depend a lot on what they can do on the recruiting trail. I think that this whole Jameel Brown, Derek Lively, and Otega Owe thing, the three of them all being teammates on Team Final, Lively being a guy that at least is technically his hometown is Bellefonte, and, you know, Jameel Brown having a relationship with Shrewsbury at Purdue. If you can get those guys, then it really changes the arc of things altogether, because I think we've talked a lot about, hey, you know, he's going to have to come in. There's going to have to be a rebuild. Is it going to be another 10 years before they're any good? But, you know, if he somehow manages to wrangle in even one or two of those guys or all three of them, you're looking at recruiting that is really starting at a different level than it did when Pat got there. And I think that's probably the biggest positive for Penn State right now. Obviously, Shrewsbury has some of those prior relationships, but the fact that people are still picking up the phone and having that conversation, you know, that's half the battle in recruiting. And if that's all it takes, then you could maybe cut that rebuild in half, assuming that people are picking up the phone and listening.
All right. When does Penn State make the NCAA tournament? Next year? 2 years from now? 3 years from now? When are we looking at Penn State in a bracket for the first time under Shrewsbury?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think if they get those guys, you know, I mean, you're talking about, you know, Derek Lively being a top 40 player in the nation in terms of his recruiting class and two other four stars that are very solid. You bring those guys in, you know, I think it's inside of 5 years. I think the variables that you don't know at this point are, is Shrewsbury a good head coach in terms of program management, in terms of recruiting, in terms of all these things that, you know, everyone assumes he's good at but still have to go out and do. And how does he do when he's a head coach, you know, solely in the Big Ten? Certainly, you know, his resume speaks for itself. His credentials and his endorsements speak for themselves. But at the end of the day, you've got to go out and do it. So it's going to be personnel and execution. But I think, you know, I did not feel this way a few weeks ago, but judging just sort of how things have transpired a little bit, it seems like they might be better sooner than I thought. Does that mean a tournament in the next 2 years? That seems like kind of high expectations, but does that mean NIT or maybe some conversations about the tournament? That seems reasonable, but again, you know, you got to go out, make your threes, make your free throws, and have a good coach behind all of it.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable to think they could get there in 3 years. Within five, certainly, and if not, that would be disappointing with everything Ben's talking about. But within next year, probably not. Now, we could potentially be talking next year if multiple guys come back out of the portal. So they got Brockington back. Who, if they were to get back two more guys out of the six, who would be the two most important guys that could make you think, okay, now maybe they actually could have a shot next year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think, you know, frankly, I think we have to write off Jamari Wheeler and John Herron. I don't think those guys are coming back. I think that they are disillusioned by the Penn State experience at this point. I think they enjoyed it, but I don't think they're coming back. So that really means you're picking from Myron Jones, Seth Lundy, and I suppose Miles Dredd. I mean, he's not in the portal, but he hasn't said, you know, hey, everyone, I'm staying either. I mean, I think it's probably MJ. I mean, Myron Jones can score. He can play all right defense. Seth Lundy's been a little up and down on both ends of the floor. If they get Myron Jones and Seth Lundy back, then there's no particular reason why you can't have that conversation next year, because those guys have got plenty of experience. They can score. They've been around the block, and that's half the battle in the Big Ten. But it's also going to depend on those complementary pieces that they get out of the portal that we just don't know about at this point as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. Watching Purdue and seeing what they did, I really like Myron Jones. He can score. I don't think he fits Micah Shrewsbury's offense. I don't think. I think Myron is really just a more of a catch and shoot kind of guy. He's not a finisher at the bucket. He's not, you know, he's not a slashing kind of guy. He needs the jump shot. And from what I watch with Purdue, now Myron could succeed, I think, you know, with the second or third pass. I think Myron can find a better spot than maybe what he would have in Micah Shrewsbury's offense at Penn State.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of interesting that he got that Alabama offer. I mean, I would love, you know, if the impartial observer here in me would love to watch Myron Jones go play for Alabama and shoot 33s in a game all on his own with Nate. So I think that would be fantastic. But, yeah, I mean, you've got to figure out a way that those guys fit in your system. I think ultimately, though, if you're Shrewsbury, you go, well, here's a guy that can score 12 points in about 30 seconds if he gets hot, and yeah, you're not going to turn that down in the Big Ten in year one either.
Yeah, and to me, I thought Sam Sessoms was just a better player than Jamari Wheeler anyway. Now, Jamari could impact the game significantly from a defensive standpoint, and that is important. There's no question about it. And Jamari got better as a three-point shooter, so I don't want to diminish what Jamari did. I think if Sam Sessoms would have gotten 30 minutes a game, I think his production could have been really significant. But he was a little careless with the ball. There's no question, and not a great defender either. So the fact that if they keep Sam Sessoms, what do they have in him, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was not entirely sold on him as a finisher early in the year. I think that's mostly because the shots didn't fall, and that's not strictly speaking entirely his fault. But I thought late in the year, he got a lot of tough buckets, and he's got that sort of, you know, we talk about the cliche physical Philly guard thing. You know, he's not afraid to get hit in the face and make a layup anyway. And I think that in the Big Ten, you've got to have a guy that can do that, because I think, you know, like you said, Myron is a perfectly good shooter, a perfectly good guy from getting hot from anywhere outside. But in a Big Ten game, when you need to draw a foul, or you need to get into the basket, or you need to get a dirty hoop like that, you know, I think Sam's probably their best bet at this point. Maybe Brockington as well. I think he's a little more athletic and he's obviously bigger. But yeah, I mean, I think Sam is a guy, you know, you mentioned him to Jamari Wheeler. He'll have to pick it up defensively, like you mentioned, but I do think, you know, he has the opportunity to be a better offensive player if he isn't already. Although, to Jamari's credit, like you mentioned, he did expand his game this year quite a bit.
All right. Well, we've got Ben Jones from statecollege.com. I want to ask you about Pro Day yesterday. Both Micah Parsons and Jason Oway running a sub 4.4 40. Big men. Obviously, Micah's going to go first half of the draft. We think Oway will go in the first round. When you take a look at two guys like that that are so physically skilled, what do you think their ceilings are at the NFL?
Yeah, I think Jason Oway is going to be one of those guys where, a little bit to a certain extent, like Donovan Smith, a very different position, obviously, but a guy who has a good career at Penn State, but nothing overly remarkable. I think in the long run, you're going to see Jason Oway turn into a player, and you go, man, he went to Penn State. He wasn't that good when he was there.
It's amazing about Donovan Smith. He got a $30 million guaranteed deal the other day. Over 4 years, Donovan Smith's going to make $57 million. I remember he was criticized a good bit his last year at Penn State. He played left tackle. He was good. He was fine. But, you know, there was nothing overly outstanding, it didn't appear, about Donovan Smith in college.
Yeah, so the exact same sort of thing, because I think Jason Oway showed flashes, but I don't think, you know, if we were going to sit here right now and make a list of the five or six best defensive ends that Penn State's had in the last 10 years, you know, he's probably not on it. And so I think, you know, his athleticism is going to blossom. And Micah, you know, it's a shame that those of us who got a chance to see him in person won't get to see him for one last year in college. I think that would have been a lot of fun. But, I mean, I give him a lot of credit. He showed up with a ton of hype, and you know, maybe Penn State didn't have the results on the field it always wanted, but it's hard to say that Micah Parsons didn't turn out to be exactly the thing that people said he was going to be. So his ceiling, I mean, he's one of the few guys that has made me feel the same way that Saquon did, in terms of that, wow, you're just watching something special. It's got to translate to the NFL, but, you know, at this point, you know, there's no reason to think that he won't be able to do that.
Does Lamont Wade play in the NFL?
I mean, he's fast and he's physical, so there's a lot of special teams roles out there. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have made a name for themselves there. And you never know. I mean, development doesn't have to end when you're done with college. So if somebody takes him off of his physical traits. He's fast. He's physical. If you take him for those things and develop him a little bit, there's no reason that you can't. But certainly that's one of those careers that feels like not quite the opposite of Micah, but certainly a guy that, you know, probably would want a few snaps here or there back, but, you know, who among us?
If I can, I thought the best thing I heard yesterday from any player was Shaka Tony talking about his experience with Sean Spencer, the former D-line coach who's now in the NFL. He talked about how it's like his dad. He taught him how to shave, taught him how to tie a tie. We talk about sports from the standpoint of winning games, how can they help our teams, money, all this and that. And this came up a little bit the other day with, like, Jameel Brown and Micah Shrewsbury. You commit to a coach. He committed to a coach. He didn't commit to Purdue. He committed to a personal relationship with a coach. And when Shrewsbury left, he ends up decommitting. I think we really overlook the personal impact that a lot of these people can have on these young athletes, especially athletes that maybe don't come from a traditional family or they're missing a father figure or what have you. I thought it was really cool to hear Shaka Tony say that, you know, that he, you know, Sean Spencer's like his dad. I don't think I've ever heard a player say he taught me how to shave.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a lot of those stories that we kind of look not past. The, you know, I think of Yetur Gross-Matos' situation with his dad drowning and his brother getting hit by lightning and sort of finding a home at Penn State, Sharif Miller.
Let me stop you there real quick, because you just said something that maybe listeners know about, but a lot of people listening to this wouldn't know about that. But repeat that one more time, what happened to you two. This is about the most tragic thing I've ever heard from a player. Tell the story of Yetur Gross-Matos real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that Yetur's father drowned trying to get him or his brother out of the water that had fallen off a boat, if I recall.
When he was 2 years old, he fell in the water and his dad drowned trying to save him.
Yeah, and then his brother, I believe it was, I don't remember if it was baseball or football or what the exact circumstance was, but then his brother was struck by lightning and killed. And
yeah, when he was 12 years old, Yetur had walked off the field from the baseball field. So anyway, I hate to interrupt you. I just didn't want you to, you know, when that's such a powerful story. I'm not sure that people truly understand exactly what happened. But Yetur comes to college, and he's relying on these people to be, you know, kind of figures in his life.
Yeah, I mean, and it happens everywhere. You know, you can say whatever you want about Pat Chambers' tenure at Penn State or you know, I don't know even know the word anymore to summarize everything that's happened in the last 12 months. But, you know, all of that. But, you know, a kid like Mike Watkins would have gotten kicked off of a lot of basketball teams a long time ago. And maybe he should have gotten kicked off of Penn State, and maybe they kept him because, you know, he's very good and sometimes you have to do those things. But at the end of the day, Mike Watkins is A, still alive, B, happier than he was, and C, more equipped for the world because of, you know, the time that he spent with Penn State basketball. And I think those things, you know, they're important and you can find them all over the place and they don't always make the headlines and they're not always the things that they talk about. But yeah, I mean, they, you know, I think it's easy to see the coach speak or hear the coach speak about shaping these guys for life. And we really care about them and all of that. And you see how much everyone's getting made and how much is on the line. And you go, is that really true? Is he just a good tight end? You know, but I think there's a lot of these stories where the relationship is real, the bond is real, and the impact is real. And ultimately, you know, you become a good football program because you've got a lot of good football players, but you probably become a good football program because you back up all those things you really mean.
Yeah, that's well said. Appreciate the time as always, man. Enjoy your weekend.
Yep, thanks for having me, Corey.
Good discussion there. Ben Jones from statecollege.com.